We're talking about the political changes in Lebanon and Syria and what they mean for the Middle East and for the U.S. My next guest, Elizabeth Dibble, works in the State Department's Bureau of Near Eastern Affairs. In reaction to the massive demonstrations last month in Beirut calling for Syria to withdraw its forces from Lebanon, the pro-Syrian Prime Minister Omar Karami resigned. Then he returned to lead the formation of a new government. After failing to make much progress, he announced he intends to resign again. What do you think it would mean politically if the Lebanese Prime Minister Omar Karami did resign?
Well, he has stated his intention to resign. Right now, we have a situation of paralysis, if you will, in the Lebanese political scene because he has been unable to form a government. And Lebanon needs to form a government in order to enact legislation that will allow the parliamentary elections to go forward as scheduled by the end of May. And this is the real crucial point. The government needs to be formed, not necessarily by Karami. He has not been successful so far, but there needs to be a government in place that can enact the elections legislation and prepare for the elections.
Do you think that the massive demonstrations in Lebanon that protested the presence of Syrian troops in Lebanon were connected to the elections in Iraq, or do you think the two things are more coincidence?
I think the two things are more coincidence, although certainly is a demonstration effect that we're seeing across the Middle East, because it wasn't just the elections in Iraq, the Palestinian elections. We're seeing people across the Middle East find their political voice, if you will. But I think the demonstrations in Lebanon were sparked much more by the assassination of former Prime Minister Hariri and the popular uprising, sort of enough is enough, Syria has to get out, and the Lebanese people deserve to determine their own political future free of foreign interference.
Hezbollah is on the American list of terrorist groups. In Lebanon, Hezbollah is a strong political party, a party that might, in fact, get stronger if Syria does pull out of Lebanon. And, there were two sets of demonstrations after the assassination of the Lebanese prime minister, one by large groups of people who want Syria out of Lebanese politics, but the other demonstrations were pro-Hezbollah, and Hezbollah has been aligned with Syria. So what do you think is going to be the future of Hezbollah?
Hezbollah is, in our view, as you noted, a terrorist organization. They have advocated the use of violence and terror as a political tool. Part of UN Security Council Resolution 1559 talks about the disarming of all militias in Lebanon. That includes Hezbollah. As the president has said, however, the immediate focus right now is on getting the Syrians out and holding Lebanese parliamentary elections, free and fair and credible elections without foreign influence or interference. And if Hezbollah renounces terror and violence and the Lebanese people decide that there is a place in the political spectrum for Hezbollah, that will be their decision to make. But it's hard to see how a group that advocates the use of terror and violence can also have a place in the political spectrum. You can't have it both ways.
If Hezbollah takes on a larger political role in the political life of Lebanon, would the United States be willing, do you think, to work with it, or would it be forced to work with it?
Absent a change in Hezbollah's behavior, policies, and outlook, as long as Hezbollah is still a terrorist organization and advocates the use of terror and violence for political means, there I don't see any way that the United States could work with Hezbollah.
Now, Syria has been on the U.S. list of state sponsors of terror. And there were some very harsh words that the Bush administration used about Syria shortly after the invasion of Iraq. Was regime change ever considered, in like regime change, a forced regime change in Syria as it was in Iraq?
Our concerns with Syrian behavior are multiple, and they're not new concerns. They are long-standing concerns. That includes Syrian behavior with regard to Iraq, including Syrian support for former regime elements and members of the insurgency, Syrian support for the insurgents. It includes Syrian support for the Palestinian rejectionist groups, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad. It includes Syrian support for Hezbollah. It includes Syria's role in Lebanon and the fact that Syria has is still in Lebanon and exerts a very powerful grip on Lebanon. So our concerns with Syria sort of are cut across a number of issues. Congress passed and the president signed the Syria Accountability Act, which went into effect almost a year ago, which mandated additional sanctions on top of the sanctions that were already in place due to Syria's role as a state supporter of terrorism. So our concerns with the Syrian with Syrian behavior and with the behavior of the Syrian government were well known and were well documented, and we have continued to make those concerns known to the Syrian government. At the same time, because we've made those concerns known to the Syrian government knows what it needs to do if it wants a better relationship with the United States.
But has regime change ever been on the table?
The Syrian government knows what it needs to do in terms of changing its behavior toward all of these issues, or vis-a-vis all of these issues, if it wants a better relationship with the United States.
I don't hear you saying, no, regime change is not and has never been on the table.
I'm just going to repeat what I said before.
Do you think that there's hope for better relations with Bashar al-Assad than there was with his father, Hafez al-Assad, the president of Syria? Now it's his son, Bashar.
That's a difficult question, because I think when Bashar al-Assad became president nearly 5 years ago, he came with the reputation of obviously being the next generation, the younger generation, perhaps more reform-oriented, that he would make some changes in Syria, economic changes. He was known to be computer literate and a fan of the internet. So I think when he became president, there were many who were willing to give him the benefit of the doubt to see if he really would change the direction of Syrian policy on a number of issues, across the board. He hasn't done that. He has not indicated that he's willing to change behavior in ways that would indicate that Syria wants to sort of become more integrated into the region and to improve its relations with the United States.
Elizabeth Dibble, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Elizabeth Dibble is Deputy Assistant Secretary in the State Department's Bureau of Near Eastern Affairs. Coming up, we talk with Rami Khoury in Beirut, where he's editor-at-large of the Daily Star newspaper. This is Fresh Air.